Now, one important aspect of social change that's used in almost any social change event is how to make requests in a powerful way. How to ask, ask, ask in a way that helps us to create the social change we are interested in. For example, as almost any social change is going to involve a certain critical mass of people changing what they are doing. That's why I like living under a king. When you live under a king, the critical mass that's necessary for social change can be one person, the king. All you have to do is get a meeting with the king and show the king a more compassionate, effective way of doing business. And if the king agrees with you, you've created social change. One person has been changed, and this can affect how many people are treated. Well, we have created much more complicated structures than we used to have under the king. Very often now, our social change efforts might involve getting 51% of the population in a certain area to vote differently. It might be to get a critical mass of people on a committee to vote in favor of something that we want, and this committee might be within a government, and this committee has great power within that government to do something we want them to do. So maybe if 4 out of the 7 members of the committee are changed in favor of what we want, we can bring about great social change. So whether it's 51% of the population that we might want to influence the change, or just one person who has great power, or a committee, social change involves the transformation of consciousness, people seeing other ways of doing things that they choose to do. That's if we want to bring about social change nonviolently. We want the change to occur because a critical mass of people willingly shift what they're doing from one position to another. Of course, violent social change basically tries to get rid of those people in power and replace them with other people. Now, to exercise our social change power using nonviolent communication to influence key people requires that we can get access to these people. And getting access is often a good use of our social change ability. To get access to people in power that we may want to communicate with, we may need to influence people who have power to get us that access to do so. It may be that we're going to need a pretty good team, a large team to work with us to get all the transformations of consciousness necessary that we're looking for. So we need to use nonviolent communication to organize a team of people who share our perspective. An example of how nonviolent communication can support our social change efforts occurred in a project I was involved in. We wanted to get a school created in one city, a school that we wanted to demonstrate could educate those students who were being kicked out of school or pushed out of school. We wanted to show that if we understood these students and understood their needs, how we could create a school structure in which they could learn as well as any other students, and they would learn, and they could do so with less violence than was seen in many public schools. However, this school required a lot of cooperation for us to create it. We had to, first of all, enlist people to work with us on this project. We had to find some people who would be willing to be teachers in the school, and then we had to train them. We need to find a building where we could have the school. We needed to find people who knew how to research the effectiveness of the school, because part of our social change project would then be to show the public school in that area how schools like this could be created. So we wanted to use this as a model school. And so we would need people to research it and show how the academic achievement could be lifted and measures of violence would be reduced. So this required a lot of asking, a lot of talking with people, telling them the project, seeing if we could influence them positively to join us. Now, one of the key ingredients in this social change project was to get enough money to do all of this work. And we were having trouble doing it. I was in partnership in this social change project with members of a street gang that I was working with, a group called the Zulu 1200s. And the warlord of this group was a gentleman named Al Chappelle. And one day he and I were talking about this social change effort and how we were discouraged because we needed $50,000 to fund this project, this social change project, and we certainly didn't have that money. We were rather desperate for funds just to maintain our own families at the time. And so the leader of the gang said to me, "Hey, don't you know somebody down at this place that gives money away?" And he was referring to a foundation, and he knew that I had done some training with the managers of this foundation. And I said, "Yes, I had worked at that foundation." He said, "Good, let's go down and get the money." "Oh," I said, "don't I wish it was that easy. To get money from that foundation, you have to write a proposal, and you need to know how to write the proposal, and I'm not sure we have the resources to do that right now. It also takes a lot of time, and I happen to know that their openness to funding is closed right now for this quarter. It won't open again for 2 months. He said, "Yeah, that's your way of doing it. Can you get an appointment with them?" I said, "Yeah, I can get an appointment with them." He said, "Fine, let's go down there and get the money." I said, "Oh, come on now, it isn't that easy." He said, "You get the appointment. Let me handle the rest." I said, "Well, what would you do if I get the appointment?" He said, "Let me handle it." So I called the foundation, and the secretary who answered my call recognized me from the time I had been there doing some training for the people in the organization. And I asked for a meeting with the director. And she said, "Oh, Dr. Rosenberg, you know how busy he is. I'll ask him if he can find time for you, and I'll call you back." And she called me back about an hour later and said, "He does have 20 minutes in between sessions later today. He said he'd be willing to see you." I said, "Thank you very much." So I said to my colleague Al Chappelle, I said, "I got the meeting with him. We've got a 20-minute meeting, but what are you going to do? What are you going to say in that time?" He said, "Let me handle it." So we drove down, and we were escorted into his office, and I politely introduced the two of them. I said, "Dr. Gene Schwilk, president of the foundation, I'd like you to meet my colleague, Al Chappelle. Al Chappelle, this is Dr. Schwilk." And Al reached over, shook his hand, and said, "Where's the money, brother?" I was so upset and embarrassed, I didn't know what to do at that point, and neither did the head of the foundation. This is usually not the way that people greet him, by saying, "Where's the money, brother?" And he kind of smiled and was very polite, and he said, "What money?" And Al Chappelle said, "Money for the Fun School." Fun School was the name of the school that we were trying to create. And president of the foundation said, "Well, what is Fun School?" And Chappelle said, "It's a school in which we want to show that kids that are kicked out of school or pushed out of school can learn if they're taught differently." And the president of the foundation said, "How is this school different than other schools?" And Chappelle started to explain it. So notice what Chappelle had done there. Instead of going in and filling our precious 20 minutes with a lot of talk, trying to show the person all the advantages of the school we wanted to create and why we liked it and wanted to do it, Chappelle introduced a dialogue in just a few words. "Where's the money?" And then this gave the other person a chance to ask for what he needed to know to decide whether he wanted to give us what we came for. We walked out with $50,000. And I have used this principle in social change efforts ever since. How to be very clear, very quickly, about what we want, so as to stimulate a dialogue in which the other side can find out what they need to know to determine whether they want to support us or not. Using precious time in that way increases the likelihood that we will connect in a way and get what we would like for our social change efforts. But even if we don't, by using the time in that way, we can even learn from a no what kept the person from wanting to support our project, and this can help us in subsequent efforts. So nonviolent communication can be very helpful to us because nonviolent communication helps us to be very clear, very quickly, about what our present request is of people. Instead of just talking at them and trying to sell them, nonviolent communication helps us to quickly create a dialogue in which people get a chance to ask for what they need to know to decide whether they want to give us what we came for.